You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolize Dominik Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominik Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry. I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mic, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Welcome, everybody, to I'll Hang Up and Listen, live to you from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm out here for work, but after the ending of that game, I could not hesitate. I had to go live with you guys. That's why I brought the setup with me. Sabres lose tonight 4-3 in a shootout, joined by Hurls, my co-host on Two Goalies on Mike. Hurls, how's it going, bud?
Could be better, obviously. Another crushing Sabres defeat. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory once again. They blew not a two-goal lead this time, thankfully, but a one-goal lead to an objectively bad team full of AHL players. It seems like a common theme with this team. They win these big games, and they bring you back all of this hope, and then you see a game like tonight. A lot of issues, but for the most part, we can talk about the shootout. Obviously, that sucks, and shootouts are the worst. But they got outplayed for most of the game by a pretty bad team. And it's just another example of them just absolutely not showing up on home ice. If you had to look at the lower bowl tonight, I would say there were 85% Canadiens fans.
Oh, I believe it.
And I don't even know who they're rooting for, because I don't even know if they want their team to win, given that they want to increase their chance of
getting tank here, right? It's the tank here all over again.
Yeah. But, my question. Like, what? I mean, they already had the tickets, obviously, and those guys are nuts. They'll travel anywhere to watch their team play. But I can imagine they were a little bit conflicted. But it's a really tough night not to get 2 points.
And I'll say this too, is I'll never put myself through that again as a fan, rooting for my team to lose. Like, that was incredibly difficult to do, even though obviously you had two huge prizes at the end of the rainbow and McDavid and Eichel. Obviously it didn't work out. You know, in a way it worked out, because the players we got now, I think in Alex Tuch and Peyton Krebs, are going to be far more, more beneficial to this organization than Jack ever could have been. Maybe in different circumstances, Jack would have flourished here more, between the turnover and coaches and GM, but that's, rear view mirror, regardless. The shootout again. I, as I mentioned before, I'm gonna lean on you a little bit, Earls, because I was out for a team dinner for work. I was paying attention to what was going on at the game. Probably got yelled at a couple times by my boss. Like, hey,
worth it.
Off your phone. But it was an important 2 points to win tonight, and you came away. And I think the big head scratcher for me, I tweeted out a couple times, is how can you justify there's no justification for your first three shooters in a must-win game, a must-win 2 points, that you start off with Olofsson, Paterka, and Alex Tuch. Now, I'm not saying that Alex Tuch isn't deserving of a shootout. I'm not saying that,
I'd argue he's the only one that was deserving to be in that top three, in my opinion.
Yeah. But, and I looked at this, I look at the box score, like, Tuch had like 8 shots on net tonight.
Yeah, he was all over the place. Incredible. He was incredible.
He's doing everything he could to win this game tonight.
I mean, Jack Quinn won you a shootout this season.
Yeah.
I think it's their third shootout, maybe.
They're now 1-3 in the shootout. They were 1-2.
Yeah, maybe fourth.
Yep. And that's like not having Tate Thompson. And I in terms of shootout skill, a shootout player, shootout at face value, a player in a shootout face value. Those are my top two. I might even, in some sequences, put Jack Quinn ahead of Tage Thompson, because that's how good he is. That's how good of handles he has.
He's incredible.
And I'm not saying – that's not a knock against Tage Thompson. Because I think Quinn's hands are just that.
He's just been more successful.
Yeah. So how can you justify? How do you justify? And trust me, I want to yell right now, but I probably have somebody sleeping in the next room over on each side of me. But how can you justify not have? If you have Jack Quinn in your top three in the shooters, you come away with 2 points tonight. No doubt about it. You come away with 2 points.
Because he was the fourth, and then we just needed a save from Comrie. And as we discussed, it looked like we got it, and it also looked like the Canadiens player came to a full stop right in front of the net.
That too.
We haven't been able to find the highlight, but it'll be up on YouTube soon when the NHL posts the full game. But you can go back and see and analyze for yourself. It's getting dangerously close with these players towing the line of what is forward momentum in the shootout. If these guys are allowed to just come in, basically come to a full stop and leave the goalie no option of what to do, it becomes an unfair practice. It makes it absolutely in the better ballpark for the forward or the defenseman that's coming down on the shot on the breakaway. I think it's Don Granato overthinking. I think he's done that a lot recently with changing up the lines. Certain players coming in and out of the lineup. Victor Olofsson has proven time and time again this season, number one, that he's not clutch. Number two, that he's not consistent. Number three, have we ever seen him in the top three of a shootout? And he goes first.
I can't remember that time.
Not even just first for the team, first for the actual shootout. When I saw him go out there first, and number one, I like going second. But number two, when I saw him out there, I was floored. I couldn't believe it. I mean, JJ Paterka has been fine for the most part, I think, in his shootout attempts. And, like, he's a skilled young guy. But you put him out there before Quinn, it was nonsensical. But as we say, you lose in a shootout.
Great comment from Gar Gallant. Like, and we, to the point where maybe Don had a good feeling about the way the players were playing throughout the first 60 minutes of that game and even overtime. Like, you think about that player, you know. Why not go with Rusek then?
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean,
goal and assist.
A guy in his first NHL game. Yeah. I feel like the lights would have been a little bit too bright.
It's a lot of pressure to put on a player. But
I think
if that's what you're basing your choices on, then I'm taking Rusek over at least two out of those three.
Nobody would have been upset with Dahlin. Nobody would have been upset with Skinner.
Yeah.
Nobody would have been upset with any of your top guys that people know as having skill. I don't know what's up with Skinner in shootouts, but obviously he had a bad relationship with Ralph Kruger. But Donnie's never put him out there. He must have something where he doesn't want to do it, or he doesn't feel like he has any confidence in him. I'd argue that Skinner would want to do it because he's one of the more skilled players on the roster.
You know, he wants to earn his money, right?
I mean, he has. Middlestat's fine. I think he's, for the most part, proven he's been pretty good. Cousins has scored on breakaways this season. But we can talk about the shootout all night long. I thought Comrie was really good in the shootout, aside from the winner, which was a pretty good shot. He made some really good saves. In terms of the game, people go back and forth with him. As we've discussed, like, I don't like to be too hard on goalies for this team because we know how bad the defense is. The first goal, backdoor one-timer, 2 minutes in the game, headed into your own zone and a rebound. I can't ask too much more from him on that. Maybe he could have been in better position to make the save on the rebound, but at the end of the day, you asked for the first save, and it's when they were getting absolutely bulldozed to start the game. How is this team not ready to play at home? Even so, like, you play well on the road, and it's like a road game in your 100 level. What will it take for them to realize that they need to be better in their own building? I don't know.
How much is this coaching?
It's getting to the point where, God, we say it all the time. Like, new GM, new coach. Kevin Adams has proven to be pretty capable at this point, and I think Donnie's done a good job with developing this group. But now that they're past the development stage for the most part, like, obviously you have a lot of young guys. Do you question, like, whether this team should have made the playoffs with better coaching decisions down the stretch? Like, do you question whether they have a better record at home? They have the worst home record in the league. Maybe it's not the absolute worst, but it's right up there.
You're one of the highest scoring teams in the National Hockey League, and you have that trash record at home. It makes no sense, Wells. No sense.
The players do play, but you have to look at it from a motivational perspective. Like, if there is a attractive candidate out there that would be better with a more proven resume at the NHL or pro level, that would be willing to leave wherever they are to come to the team in the offseason, I think you at least look at it. A lot of my friends, a lot of Sabres fans have mentioned to me this season that they are waning.
It's definitely a talking point.
Donnie Meatballs a little bit. And I love the guy. I think he's obviously much better than anything we've had in the past 15 years, but it's something to discuss.
I just, you know, what could help the situation? I mean, you have Matt Ellis as an assistant coach on this team. In what universe is Matt Ellis ready to be an assistant in the NHL?
Yeah. I mean,
wasn't he coaching at the Harker Center a few years ago?
Yeah, exactly. Same with Kevin Adams. Like, he wasn't ready to be a GM, exactly. But it turns out he had some acumen and it's working out pretty well for him.
From a business level, he had positions within the organization even before he was with the Sabres. And I did not defend the hire when I started. I called him yes.
It was absolutely a yes man.
Who knows?
I mean, it absolutely was a desperate hire, but
pardon?
It absolutely was a desperate hire for a GM, but it seems like it's worked out pretty well so far. I mean, as I'll just say this, like, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. Let's be honest. I think we all declared them dead last week with the Flyers game. And I forget all the losses from last week, I guess the Bruins and everything else. And we had a little bit of hope, obviously, coming into this game after those two wins against the Devils and the Islanders. They looked better defensively. They were finally scoring goals again. You're out your best player tonight. That's obviously a huge, huge loss. Tage Thompson not in the game. I think the Sabres win if Tage Thompson plays.
I like this comment from another pound from Gargalon. Mitz should have been on the top line. Krebs was the choice.
Krebs or Quinn.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen them give Krebs a crack in the top line because of the strides he's made down the middle, down there playing with Akposo and Gergensen's. Playing a tougher style of hockey, a tougher brand of hockey, and just to see if given the opportunity, if he'd step up to the challenge. Why not? You're this late in the season. You really have nothing to lose. I would have liked to have seen that too. Another coaching decision. I don't know. Like, nothing against Middlestad. I think he's had a good season, but maybe that's a trust factor. You trust the player, you know, more than giving another guy an opportunity. You know, you trust a guy to not fail rather than to, you know, step up or take his game to the next level. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I
think we
saw what Quinn did with that top line when Tuck was out.
Sorry?
We saw what Jack Quinn did with that top line when Tuck was out. So we already knew.
Yep.
I think we all know what we have in Jack Quinn. The guy's going to be a superstar. Like, he's very, very good. And the plays that he's been making consistently over the past 2 months have proven that he's ready for top 6 minutes. The kid line obviously has been playing well together, Cousins, Paterka, and Quinn. So maybe it's the thought you want to keep them together and keep that mojo. But, yeah, Middlestad didn't really do it for me tonight. I really thought that he was going to get more chances. He did ring one off the post. I'll give him that. It's another gut punch is what it is. You've got nine games left now. You're 5 points out. You absolutely need to win 8 of 9. And tonight was probably your most winnable game against a bottom five team. So you put yourself in a tough position, and that begs the question we're all wondering, especially after like another mediocre to subpar performance from your goaltending. In most people's opinions, we're obviously much more sympathetic. Do you play Devon Levi on Friday? He's going to get – they have 3 days off. They have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to practice at home, and the Rangers come in the building, who just clinched a playoff spot, by the way. Yeah. So they might not be as
motivated. I mean, I wouldn't hate it.
As they normally would be. I think everybody wanted him to play tonight against his hometown team. And if they don't and they get another subpar performance, that's another check on, does Donny Granato deserve to be the coach of this team? Because if you have – it's not a proven commodity, but it's the source of hope for most of the fan base right now. You have this young prospect. Mm-hmm. You're probably out of it anyway. But if he comes in – and you catch lightning in a bottle, and he's able to go on a run, who knows? You know, he's a young kid. He's going to be able to withstand. withstand this type of run. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know if he's ready for this level or not yet. Obviously, it's not the best situation given the nature of the defense, but there's a chance Samuelson could be back. You get three days off, three days of rest. Miss him. What's that?
How many more of these losses would you have won if Sammy was in the lineup too? And that's a valid point.
Yeah.
Because I think defensively as much as goaltending was hurting you during that stretch where I think you went like 1-5-1. Like,
yeah, I mean,
it was bad.
And that's the reason. It's partially the reason you lost 8 games in November and December. So yeah, it's a question that needs to be asked, and I'm assuming it will be asked all week. I personally am all for it at this point.
Yeah.
I think Comrie was mostly fine tonight, but
made some huge saves.
They're probably going to play Anderson. He'll have over a week and a half of rest. And he's proven that he's been much better when he has that long to take in between games. He's 41 years old. So
I could definitely see them giving. And here's the thing too. I don't think if it is going to be Levi that they're going to make us as fans wait until like the day of, because I think it's a game that you're going to want to have as many fans in the building as possible. And Levi's a good way to fill seats with Sabres fans.
Absolutely.
With Sabres fans.
Oh, yeah.
Not Rangers fans, but Sabres fans.
I mean, there'll be a lot.
I'd imagine that you would know by Thursday morning. I think we would know by Thursday morning if they were to decide to start Levi or not.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good time to do it.
A game time decision that you wait.
No, you have 2 days off at home. They might get a day off tomorrow, but they shouldn't after that performance. You have maybe 2 or 3 practices. And if he looks good and he looks like he's better than what you have, I say go for it. You're choosing between a 21-year-old and a 41-year-old. And the 41-year-old, at least recently, has proven that he's kind of running out of gas after a really good season, especially for his age. So I hope they do. I think 95% of the fan base hopes they do. I'm obviously pretty terrified for it. I know we've talked about like how he would respond to a potentially tough first outing.
It's going to be a tough spot for him. I think
he mentally would be able to handle it, though.
Yeah. In a perfect world, you would have wanted him to start tonight. I get why you went back to Comrie. He had a shutout. You'd like to reward that kind of stuff. And it's not like he lost you the game tonight. I thought he definitely played more than Cape, but good enough for you to win, 100%. No. But at the end of the day, you got outplayed. You got outshot. You got outchanced. And your coaching at the end of the game cost you the game because again, I just don't know how you justify at least 2 of those 3 guys over Jack Quinn. Again, it makes no sense to me. And I hope somebody asked him in the post game. I hope somebody asked him, how do you justify that? How do you justify not having your best shootout player shoot in the shootout? He scored in the fourth, but in their top 3. Like that is a bad coaching decision. That is a bad coach. Yeah. And ultimately that's a coaching decision that cost you the game. And I know people like to give him shit and maybe sometimes rightfully so. I hope Mike Harrington burns him on that one. I hope so. Because not a lot of those guys will have, have the cojones to, call coaches out sometimes. And I hope he does. I hope he does. Cause he deserves to be ridiculed for that. That deserves an honest answer. And there's no justification
for it. Speaking of his goal, do you think he did the around the world fake move on purpose or no? I personally don't think so.
I don't think he did.
Everyone, they were questioning that on the broadcast, and I think people were on Twitter as well. I think he has the ability to do the Kucherov and do something like that, and I think he probably will in the future. And it kind of looked like it, but no, I think he was trying to go forehand, in which he would have scored anyway. Yeah. It's a bad move and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yep.
And now you have 3 days to recover and go on a stretch run of 9 games and try to win 8 of them.
Yep.
it's a tall ask. It's a really tall ask. 8 might be overly projecting where it would end up. Maybe 7 might do it with a little bit of help. But you need every point you can get tonight, and you lost one, like you said. Mostly because you got outplayed.
What would the rest of the NHL scoreboard look like tonight?
There were only 4
any
other
points
games
that matter.
No, the Penguins weren't playing. I know the Panthers played. I'm pretty sure they won.
You need them to lose too.
No, they lost, actually. Senators beat the Panthers. Okay,
that's good.
That's good.
Regulation?
Islanders beat the Devils in regulation. Wild.
That's not good.
And then the other games don't matter. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. But at this point, we're basically chasing the Penguins. I think you have one more game against the Islanders, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, I mean, it's a massive point to lose. And now you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and try to come back from that. So
another point here from Gar Gallant. I think Don defers to the assistants on who goes in the shootout. If that's the case, then you shouldn't be a head coach in the NHL. Like straight up, if you need to refer to Matt Ellis about who's going to shoot your shootout, that's a joke.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not something – I know they do practice it at the end of every practice because, like, you need to have these guys prepared for this type of mission because it can happen any single game. It doesn't happen often, but, like, these guys need to be practicing their moves because clearly they weren't good enough. Like, Olofsson move, bad. The Paterka move was fine. Tuck, I respect him for going for the shot because I feel like he has a pretty good shot. The only one that had a legitimate NHL move that would beat most NHL goaltenders was Jack Quinn. Casey, he's got hands, but I think he didn't get what he wanted. And Dylan Cousins doesn't have the greatest hands in the world either. So, yeah, it just keeps going back to, like, why do you not put your best player in that situation?
So but, I just received an interesting message in reference to Casey being on the top line. He's only had 7 points in his last 15 games. So, I mean, I know we're not expecting a lot out of, you know, point per game production. But, again, I just don't see what his play, at least in the last, 2 weeks, really justified him being on the top line. But seven points in his last 15, 16 games.
Yeah, and I guess the decision probably came down to them wanting to keep Paterka, Quinn, and Cousins together.
Yeah.
And Krebs playing as well as he has. In those bottom 6 minutes, I guess. I don't know. I would imagine that those were the other two options, and they just thought that let's give Casey a shot. Didn't work out.
Here's a stat for you this season. The Sabres are 6-32 when they don't score 4 goals. 6-32.
Says a lot about the defense. Says a lot about the goaltending.
Yep.
Says a lot about the way the team's constructed. As we said, you don't have Tage Thompson tonight. I think we
had Ellis talking to walkie-talkie to Bagul's lose. Mauricio coming in hot as always. I'm sorry if my reception is out of me. Peanut Gallery needs to be heard. Unfortunately, we can't get to every comment all the time.
I definitely don't think they're tanking. That's for sure.
I don't think so either.
At this point, there's no use in trying to lose because I think they have too many points to potentially even be in consideration for that lottery ball. And even if they get in that, the chances are going to be so low that it would never be worth it. So
yeah,
I really do disagree with that. But conspiracy theories are conspiracy theories for a reason. They create conversation. It's a tough loss. It's another really, really tough loss after a little sliver of hope. But the shining light and the moral of the story is that you have 9 games left and you still have a chance. Mm-hmm. This team has won 6 games in a row this season. I think they're fully capable of it. And wouldn't you know if
this you have is a soft part of the schedule
that could do it?
I tweeted it out earlier. You got the Senators, you got the Blue Jackets, you got Philly, you got Detroit. Not saying all those teams are pushover teams. But a lot of those teams are below you in the standings right now. And the Rangers game is the second of a back-to-back. So there's a good chance you're not going to get Shesterkin. But he'll probably go against the Devils the night before. You'll probably get Halak on night two, which Halak has played very well against Buffalo in the past. But I would much rather play against Halak than Igor Shesterkin.
For sure.
So absolutely. I don't know. I don't want to play. Yeah, too jittery.
I'm already envisioning a loss to the Flyers.
Good analogy. It's like playing a recital in front of your parents or something when they play it at home. I don't disagree because they just don't look like they're at home when playing at home. They look like they've been on
aside from when they wear the black jerseys.
Like, just wear the rest of the season.
Yeah, the last time they won wearing the blue jerseys at home was Ryan Miller night.
No shit.
And then I honestly think it is. I'm almost positive it is. I'm pretty sure that's right. And if I'm not right, that's definitely within the most recent two wins at home wearing those jerseys. Mm-hmm. They have a horrible record at home this season wearing those jerseys. I'm not necessarily superstitious like that, but at the same time, the intensity, the system, everything that you see on mm-hmm. the road, every part aspect of their game, which brings us back into the fold and makes us hopeful again. You don't have that at home. And that is just inexcusable. And like you said, it could come down to coaching. Mm-hmm. It's defense and goaltending too, but
yeah,
we all know that's a problem.
Yeah. So, if you could have picked three shooters tonight, who would it have been?
I think you go first with Alex Tuck. I think he's the quasi leader of this team, and I think he has the confidence and the ability to be in that position, whereas Victor Olofsson does not. I probably would have gone Dahlin second, just because I feel like his creativity in that type of situation is something mm-hmm. that a lot of the guys on this team don't have, regardless of the fact that he's a defenseman. And then, as we've discussed, you put your guy third that you know can win you a game in that situation, and who has proven it time and time again in both mm-hmm. development camp and practice and everything we've seen from him in the league. He has the hands for it. He has the moves. So you obviously put Jack Quinn in at third, and you would have won the game. So,
yep.
That's
and once we have that replay of the shootout goal where we believe Lena came to a stop, we'll tweet that out from the two goalies, one Mike handle. But I think that is up for debate, because it's one thing if you come to a stop and then shoot immediately. But when you come to a spot and then continue your forward progress, I think that, like, I think in me personally, okay. if I was a referee, and this is me being unbiased, I think you'd have to treat that like in baseball, when in doubt, call it out. And to me, I remember watching that replay because I had to live stream it. I'm like, he came to a stop. How is that allowed?
But like, have they ever called that?
And I don't know.
Like, in my opinion, I think it should be reviewable.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to make these shootouts of such importance for an extra point in a playoff race, like, why is that play not challengeable? Why are we not able to go upstairs for something like that?
Talk Cousins and Quinn for me from Chavo. I agree. That would have been a good. That would have been
yeah.
a good,
Cousins in there. Skinner in there. I don't know why we've never seen Skinner in a shootout.
I think we can only talk about won five times wearing blue jerseys at home. I'm not even joking. That could be a correct stat.
And most of them were early in the season too. I'm telling you. I'm almost positive a month and a half ago, or even I don't know how long ago Ryan Miller night was. I think that was in late January or early February. Either way, it's been a long time. It's been 84 years. This team is so frustrating. They're so frustrating.
I rushed home. I rushed back to the hotel to try and catch the end of this game. And I wish I did it, because I would have rather just gone to bed tonight not thinking about a coaching decision in a shootout by Don Granato, but it's going to literally something I'll be thinking about at least for the next hour, and how much it pisses me off.
Well, hey, 3 days off, you still have a chance. Hopefully they play Levi. If they don't, they'll probably play Anderson, and you got to get a game for
them. I think if you don't see Levi on Friday, you have to see him next week.
Yeah, and well, at that point, we may actually may be out of it. And they might be more inclined to play him when there's not as much pressure. Maybe that's their thought, which I don't necessarily agree with, mm-hmm. because he's proven he's a big game goalie. I know it's not the NHL, but he's proven it at the World Juniors in college for two straight seasons mm-hmm. with the top level of his competition. And like, the Sabres defense is bad, but is the Sabre defense as bad as college players? Like, they are better. So I don't know. I think 95% of the fan base is going to want to see him in
that. That's a point, too. Does the puck stop when he stops? That could factor in. But I think if the player comes to a complete stop, I think.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. Like, how would they even judge that? Do they have a standard? Do they have, like, any type of –
Well, we don't know what a kick is, so we don't know what a kick is.
Like we said, and we wouldn't be able to hear their thought process even if they did, because they can see
it. Back to your point from a couple weeks ago, there should be – you know, video or audio in that room when discussing these calls.
Transparency.
Transparent with the fans.
Would be nice, but we're never going to get that. So that's a pipeline.
Guys, again, live from here in Boston, thanks for hopping on with us. Not a long one tonight. Hurls, as always, thanks for hopping on. Heartbreaker tonight for the Sabres. 4-3 loss to the Montreal Canadiens, which essentially a home game for the Canadiens, as it always is, you know, at least for the last 10 years. And the Sabres, once again, don't show up at home. And coaching cost them this one for sure. I don't think it's a questionable. So I'll hang up and listen. Remember, this is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. By Jordan Boulevard. When you need an adult beverage for your Sabres game day, game night needs, get over to Outlet Liquor. Tell them the boys from Two Goalies when Mike sent you. I am Dwayne for Connor Hurley Hurls and, of course, Cully, Johnny Cullen. You guys have a good night. Enjoy the week. And we will see us Friday. Have a good one. Hey, everybody. This is Dwayne from Two Goalies, One Mike, a show where we give you a behind-the-mask coverage of the greatest sport on earth, whether it be happening right here in Buffalo or around the hockey world. Now, you might be thinking,
hey, Dwayne, why would I want to hear what you two idiots have to say about hockey?
Well, first of all, rude. Second of all, we bring in coaches, players, analysts from your favorite programs, from ESPN to Sportsnet to TSN. We're always on it. If you're a Sabres fan or just a hockey fan, you can download us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can check us out at TrainwreckSports.com or the Dean Blundell Podcasting Network. Thank you for your support, guys, and I'll hang up and listen.
Come on, let's go. To the Blue Hotel. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality. Theme-based with special guests. The Blue Hotel Hotline. And every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.
I'm Matt Kundel, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent, almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.